something new to be created, there needs to be a space for it to come into being. For things to move and change, there needs to be a space between them. I like to call this space the gap. The gap occurs in many different sizes, in many different places. It occurs in the human mind, between people in relationship, and especially in relation to the divine, which goes by many names, and some people call God. The gap contains the unknown, sometimes holy, sometimes scary. To ignore it can be dangerous, but to recognize it brings freedom. We may choose to cross the gap, and for this we need imagination. There's an element of risk, but the possibility of great reward. We may create something new or achieve a greater sense of unity between the seeker and what was sought. I don't mean to suggest that I've mastered the gap, so please consider this sermon for what it actually is, an extended meditation that tries to embody something of what it's teaching. When I visit a strange city, I like to take the subway. It's the cheapest and the easiest way to get around. And there's something magic in the subway. You descend into the ground to be carried through a tunnel, and then later you come out in a different part of town. In the London Underground, as the train arrives, you hear a disembodied voice warning everyone to mind the gap. There's a necessary gap between the train and the platform, and without the gap, the trains could never move. The train cars are straight, but the platform may be curved, which creates a greater space between the two. This space could be a hazard unless you pay attention and mind the gap. Life is full of necessary gaps. There's the necessary gap within the human mind, a gap that we call self-awareness. I once had an insight. It may seem obvious to you, but it made a big difference to me. My career was stagnating and my job was unsatisfying. I knew that I'd be laid off, although I didn't know exactly when. I got some satisfaction in a daydream in which I imagined myself quitting my job. I said to myself, I'll show them. I'll just up and quit no matter what they say. Then they'll know what jerks they are. Won't they be sorry? My insight was simply this. I was feeling angry. And because I was feeling angry, I was having some angry thoughts. I was free to act on these angry thoughts or do nothing. When I recognized the gap between my impulses and my actions, then I was free to choose. This insight may seem simple, almost trivial, but do you imagine how many people hurt themselves or other people because they fail to mind the gap between a thought and a necessary action? They may feel compelled by desire or a sense of honor. They may feel they don't have a choice. Or maybe they fear the freedom that comes when we realize that we do have a choice. There is a necessary gap in human relationships, which provides the basis for empathy. In a healthy relationship, I can love my friend as myself because I can identify myself with his or her feelings. I can feel with that other person without confusing my feelings with their feelings. To borrow the language of the psychologist Carl Rogers, I can experience the world as if I were that other person, without ever losing sight of the as-if condition. If both of us mind the gap in this way, we can be close to one another and yet still be free to be ourselves. Otherwise, an unhealthy state of fusion can occur. One spouse becomes an extension of the other's wishes. One parent's expectations runs roughshod over a child's natural gifts. One person violates the boundaries of another person and undermines their sense of worth and dignity. Love has been described as a state of tension between being two and being one. In human relationships, the space between us is holy ground. There is a necessary gap between groups of people, which provides the basis for respect and solidarity. When Europeans came to North America, they saw the people here as obstacles to progress or as savages to be converted. They projected their own agendas and their own worst fears onto these people. They didn't respect the difference between cultures, an attitude that might have allowed us to live together and share the land peacefully. They might have listened to the Native Americans who had long experience in building alliances between different groups of people. The Haudenosaunee or Iroquois offered Europeans who entered their land the two-row wampum belt, which symbolized the following treaty. You say that you are our father and we are your sons. We say we will not be like father and sons, but like brothers. These two rows symbolize vessels traveling down the same river together. One for the original people, their laws, their customs, their ways. The other for the Europeans, their laws, their customs, their ways. We shall travel the river together, side by side, but each in our own boat, and neither of us will try to steer the other's vessel. To honor such a covenant requires imagination and taking risks. We need to imagine the world through the eyes of another. We need to relinquish some control whenever we sit down in fellowship and hear one another's stories, share our beliefs and visions, without rushing to judge one another. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. All of you are one." This is a powerful vision. That's still not accomplished yet in this world. In 2,000 years, we've only added to the list of divisions, black or white, gay or straight, young or old, rich or poor, Christian and Muslim. The list keeps growing. And it's not enough to denounce prejudice and declare discrimination obsolete. It's not enough to say we're colorblind or genderblind or classblind. To call these gaps irrelevant is not enough. To make these gaps irrelevant takes imagination and risk. To see the world through another's eyes, to find new ways to work together, and risk being changed in the process. We may indeed travel the river together, share the beauty and the risk of the river. We change in the process. The gap does slowly become irrelevant as something new is created between us that constitutes something more, and a new us is born. The space between us is a creative space. The space space between us is holy ground. There is a necessary gap between ourselves and the ultimate reality, the bedrock of being, which goes by many names and which some people call God. This word, God, is just a symbol. It can refer to many possibilities, to something beyond us or within us, to an all-powerful being or an all-encompassing presence, to the impersonal laws of nature, or none of the above. Our faith tradition draws from many sources, and these sources offer many conflicting versions of God. All of the stories contain some truth, and none of them captures the whole truth. None of our truths is final. So it does make sense to speak of a gap between ourselves and God. This is the gap of unknowing. It is a holy gap. When we ignore this gap, too, we get into trouble. We substitute a small idea for a much greater one. We confuse God with our concepts of God, with our words about God, our images of God. It is right that we should use such images, the products of our own creative imagination, to shine a light on the unknown and to cross the gap. The best use of imagination is to lead us into the truth and not to escape from it. The Hebrew Bible tells the story of Jacob, son of Isaac, who has a vision. In the vision, Jacob sees angels ascending and descending a ladder that extends between earth and heaven. When we recognize our images of God as the products of our own imagination, these images become like the rungs on Jacob's ladder. We become free to let go of the old images when they no longer serve us, and to reach out for new ones that better reflect our understanding. This letting go is risky, but we all have to do it as long as we want to have a living, growing faith. Some people experience the letting go as a crisis. They struggle to hold on to images that they grew up with until they finally lose them, if they're lucky. If they work through the disillusionment, they may achieve a deeper relationship with the God of their own faith tradition or the God of their new understanding. For many of us as Unitarian Universalists, this reaching out and letting go does not take the form of a crisis, but a more continuous process. We slowly learn to accept our truths as provisional. We learn to affirm that our understanding will never be complete. We learn to move forward even so. We take the risk of collaborating with the unknown. We let go of certainty for the sake of relationship with a beloved who we desire but we cannot yet see. For many of us here, the beloved is not construed as a personal being, and what we seek and most desire is embodied in this world and right here, in this network of relationships that constitute the beloved community. Even so, it's good to mind the difference between the vision of community and the reality. It takes risk and imagination to cross the gap from the one to the other. It will demand the use of all of our diverse gifts, including some which we never knew we had. The space between us and among us and within us is a creative space. This space is holy ground. When we ignore the gap, we lose the freedom and the possibility for change that it represents. But in facing the gap, we risk an encounter with the unknown, and it may lead us places we never expected to go. But through this process, there comes a new sense of unity between the seeker and what was sought, between the archer and the target, between the dancer and the dance. The gap is very real, but it's never final. When we feel most fragmented, this is a step towards wholeness. When we feel most separate, we're not really alone. To quote these familiar words again, the mystery is that we are connected, even when we feel apart. Let us rejoice in the common life that makes into many one. Spirit of life, bless this space between us. As we leave this house of worship and go about our lives today, may we respect one another and our unique integrities. May we learn to accept life's disconnects and discontinuities. May we always remember to mind the gap and to approach it with a sense of reverence and courage. So may it be.